Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is recorded in the first lesson that Pastor read today, plus a couple of verses before and a couple after. Dear friends in Christ, the prophet Elijah had just experienced the greatest triumph of his entire career. Only a few years earlier, he had earned the enmity of King Ahab and his pagan wife Jezebel by proclaiming that because of the manifest idolatry in Israel, that's the northern kingdom, there would be no more rain upon the land. Now, Elijah was from Tishbe. That's a little village on the other side of the Jordan River, on the east side. It's about 35 miles from Samaria in a straight line. During this time of drought, the Lord sent his prophet back to that side, the east side of the Jordan River, to the area that's called Gilead, part you just sang about. The Lord took care of him. He was fed by ravens near a small stream. And when that stream dried up because of the drought, the Lord sent him outside the country to an area around Tyre and Sidon, the area that we call Lebanon today. Now, in the third year of the drought, the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the land." Now, Ahab had been searching all this time to find Elijah. And he had notified all the rulers of the countries around Israel, it's the northern kingdom, to try to apprehend Elijah, but to no avail. So he was rather doubtful when a trusted servant told him where he was supposed to meet the prophet Elijah. But he went. He went to meet Elijah, and when he saw him, he said, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel? I have not made trouble for Israel," the prophet said, "but you, you and your father's family, you have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people, summon all the people to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and bring the 400 prophets of Asherah," that's the female consort of Baal. And I think you know the story. When all the people were assembled on Mount Carmel, Elijah went before the people and he said to them, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." And the people said nothing, not a word from that assembled crowd. And then he said to the people, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left. But Baal," and he pointed, "Baal has 450 prophets here. Now get two bulls and let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it in pieces, and put it on the wood on the altar. But no fire. And I will take the other bull and put it on the wood, but no fire. And the God who answers by fire from heaven, he is God. Now, 450 prophets of Baal went first. And they prepared their altar, and they put the wood on the altar, and they cut off the bullock, and they put it on the altar as a sacrifice. And they danced, and they sang, and they prayed, and they cut themselves with swords and spears and knives until the blood ran. But no fire came down from heaven. And then Elijah built his altar. He built it with 12 stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel, one for each tribe. And he put the wood on the altar, and he cut up the bullock and placed it on the altar. And then he called the servants to come and pour water over the sacrifice and over the wood three times until it pooled around in the trench around the altar. And then he prayed to the Lord, and fire came down from heaven and burned up the sacrifice and burned up the wood and scorched the altar and lapped up all the water in the trench around. And the people declared, "The Lord is God." And Elijah slaughtered the prophets of Baal with the sword. And rain came upon the land. And the power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he ran before the chariot of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. And that's where our text starts this morning. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." Queen Jezebel apparently hadn't been at Mount Carmel, but Ahab told her everything that had taken place and everything that Elijah had done, and how he had killed the prophets of Baal with a sword. And that's when Jezebel sent a messenger to the prophet Elijah, saying in short, "Elijah, you're a dead man." And the Bible says Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. After the high came the low. From triumph to despair, and Elijah fled. Elijah had had it. He had fought long enough. He wanted out. He wanted some R&R, some peace and quiet. In fact, he had enough of life. And you know, there are certain times in our lives when I think we can really identify with Elijah. Times when we've had it. Times when we want out. The Bible says, "Let him who builds a tower count the cost." But most of us don't know what we're getting into when we start our mission. That's true of marriage. That's true of parenting. It's true of being a mom or a dad. I read about a bird that's called an African hornbill. When his mate is about to lay eggs, he seals her up with mud inside a hollow tree with just a tiny hole for the beak to protrude to so it can eat. And then he works nonstop, day and night, to feed her and the four chicks. And by the time mom and the chicks are ready to break free of their sealed up hollow home, dad is just about dead from exhaustion. Some dads can relate to that. Probably single moms, even more without help. The future often looks scary. And it doesn't really matter what your mission is, whether you're just starting a new job or you're trying to deal with retirement. The questions always abound. What will the future be like? Can I deal with it? Can I succeed? Do I even want to try? The Bible says when Elijah came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. Remember that Queen Jezebel had ordered that Elijah be captured and put to death. And Elijah didn't wait around for the axe to fall. He fled with his servant through the northern kingdom and then through the southern kingdom called Judah, right to the boundary at Beersheba, where the scrubland starts. That's about 100 miles as the crow flies. It's a lot longer as the man walks. I don't know how long that took. Bible doesn't say. But there he left his servant and went another day's journey toward the desert. Tired, worn out, I'm sure, he sank down under a tree and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. He thought he was a failure. It had all been for nothing. I don't think that Elijah had forgotten the fire that came down from heaven or all the other miracles that God had accomplished through him. But he was discouraged. It happens. Nothing ever changes, he thought. You can preach your lungs out, and people might even compliment you. And then they go out and do the same stupid, unscriptural things as they did before. Elijah felt rather burned out in the service of the Lord. And Elijah demonstrates the difficulty in being a follower of God. Called upon to prove our faith, we often have difficulty trusting the Lord to handle it in his own way. Confronted by the hostility or apathy of the world around us, we fear that we will not be able to penetrate the world's secular shield. Required to do often the impossible, we forget that all things are possible with God. And we lose confidence. But it is at these very times, times of doubt, times of frustration, times of despair, that we too are ministered to, as was the prophet, by the angels. Oh yes, God, life is hard. Like Elijah, we may find ourselves under our own broom tree, questioning, wondering, doubting. Queen Jezebel was a fanatic. Miracles didn't change her mind or her resolve. Remember what Luther said? Fanatics are different from Christians, for Christians are always open to doubt, whereas fanatics hold firm to their beliefs and never change. And therein lay their power. Fortunately, the grace of God always prevails in times of spiritual disheartenment. As Elijah broodingly slept under the broom tree, the angel of the Lord came to him. Twice the angel of the Lord came to Elijah, touched him, and gave him the same command: get up and eat. No more moping around. No more feeling sorry for yourself. No more pity party. Get up and eat. That's the way angels often talk to people in the Bible. An angel came to Peter in jail, and he said, rise quickly. An angel came to Gideon and said, go in the strength that you have. An angel appeared to Joseph and said, go quickly. An angel appeared to Philip and said, get up and go. And an angel touched Elijah twice and said, get up and eat. The angels are trying to get us out of our lawn chairs and our easy boys. God provides. The food provided and blessed by heaven nourished Elijah and allowed him to travel 40 days and 40 nights until he reached the mountain of God at Horeb. God always provides. And it was at Mount Horeb that Elijah recognized the presence of God, not in the eye and ear catching events of the world, not in the mighty force of the wind, not in the quaking of the earth itself, not in the fire from heaven, but in the small whisper of confidence to a man who had no confidence in himself, a man who found himself open to the entering of God's still small voice, a man who had given up trying to do it on his own and thought he was the only one left. Oh, how sweet it is to discover that even when we have given up, God has not. We are never alone. God is with us just as he has promised, and his angels are trying to strengthen us and get us going. Know that because he is with us, we can accomplish more than we ever thought possible. Oh, yes. There are times when each of us, in our own individual missions in the service of Jesus, will face disappointment, even despondency, perhaps even fear. We may even be tempted to quit. But the angels are urging us to take heart. If we listen to his word and are strengthened with his heavenly food, his very body and blood, and continue to move in faith, we will discover that God is always faithful to his promises, and we can accomplish more than we ever dreamed. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.